Welcome to Drunk Bible Study. This show's mission is to read every single word of the greatest story ever told. A warning to our listeners, the hosts of this show are sinners, but they're doing their best. There will be drinking and there may be some swears. They did say they'd try to keep it clean, but I wouldn't put my money on it.
I'm Emily, and this is Drunk Bible Study, where my good friends Dedeker and Jace teach me, a born and raised atheist, all about the Bible. And we are back after a couple weeks off. We are so excited to be back. This is the penultimate Luke. Wow. Oh my gosh. As usual, I never thought we would be here.
Yeah, so only a few episodes left with our Ewan McGregor Jesus.
By a few, you mean two?
Yes.
Because this is the penultimate?
Yes, a few is also two.
What? I always thought of a few as three.
Really?
I thought of a couple. Really? A couple.
Okay.
A couple,
controversial.
A couple is two. A few is three. Am I wrong? Please.
Do you mean three or more?
Sure.
Or is it always three in your mind?
I always thought of four, it as three.
But four is also a few.
Four is a few?
Okay, well, fine. Okay, we only have a couple more episodes.
Thank you.
Of Ewan McGregor, Jesus. We've got to think about future Jesuses. Because we got one left. One left.
Yes, I know. Incredible.
One final Jesus.
Future Jesuses. Yeah, wow. And John is the one that I feel like whenever I ask a really biblical person, and by a biblical person, I mean somebody who like grew up reading quote-unquote, the Bible and being very into Jesus, quote-unquote, mm-hmm. that John is the one that they are really excited about. The book of John is the one that everybody says is their favorite.
I mean, John 3:16 always gets whipped out.
Yeah,
I got an interesting preview of this because this last week I binge listened to a podcast called The Prophecy.
Oh.
It's very bad. So this is not an endorsement or a recommendation.
Okay.
Well, it's like an audio drama podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. Fictional.
Right. So it's like one season, I think it's 10 episodes total, 9 episodes maybe, of these kind of half-hour long episodes of like an audio drama, right? It's so the sound quality is really good. It's all in Dolby Atmos. So if you're listening to it on a player that supports that, you get like really immersive surround sound. Great. Super all-star cast. It's got like Kerry Washington, Lawrence Fishburne, Daniel Day Kim.
Oh my gosh.
Several others I'm forgetting now. But like a lot of celebrities. But the writing is just bad. But it's all about this kind of modern day prophecy where like the Virgin Mary and Daniel and Jonah are all like present day people who have experiences similar to the ones from the Bible. But the writing is just really lazy. It's like they didn't even really study their Bible as much as we have, which is a low bar to set, I think, if you're going to write a screenplay about it.
Yeah.
And anyway, a lot of things. But they quoted the Bible quite a lot, and basically every single quote was from somewhere in John.
Oh, interesting.
But none of it was 3:16. It was actually other verses, which I was like, oh yeah, that's where that's from. So I think we're going to get a lot of new content when it comes to John.
That's exciting. Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of things in John that are not in the other books of the Bible, the other Gospels of the Bible. So yeah, so we'll see. Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
I have an exciting update, though, that took place in our Discord server.
Oh.
Just last week. Rockin' On, friend of the pod. I'm trying to say, what?
What are you
regular
trying to
customer?
Say? Like, regular customer.
A regular audience member.
Purchases our treats.
Yeah, regularly purchases our treats.
A regular patron of the show.
Yeah, regular patron and audience member of the show and the live show. Anyway, Rockin' On created some printable bookmarks promoting DBS that you can print out and slide into the Gideon Bible.
Wow.
Or the Book of Mormon if you're staying in a hotel.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Wait, yes, I haven't even seen this. I need to see them.
Yes, it's great. Yeah, get into the Discord. Yeah. If y'all want to get into the Discord, go to drunkbiblestudy.com/discord to join. Totally free to join. You know, there's no paywall or anything like that. And people have a great time making all kinds of ridiculous projects like this.
That's awesome. Yes. I love it.
Yes.
All right, what are you two drinking tonight?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked.
Well, I'm...
Go ahead, Jace.
I'm drinking a beer that Dedeker actually picked up for me. And Emily, you're going to love.
Oh.
It's called Zora Trident.
Oh my gosh.
Pale Ale.
Oh my gosh. I love it.
So it's from Logan Brewing, which famously does a lot of video game themed beers. And they're right nearby.
It's our little local brewery.
Yes.
They're local. And so Zora Trident. It's a pale ale. And it's quite delightful. Quite nice.
Wow, that's lovely. How cool.
And mine, also from Logan Brewing, is the Keyblade Key Lime Pie, sour ale.
Yum.
And it's real good.
Oh, I'm jealous.
It's real good.
That's
awesome. It tastes like drinking a key lime pie.
Oh my gosh.
And boozy.
Wow.
It's like, what more could you ask for?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's also a video game reference because it's the Keyblade from Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, the big one that the guy walks around with the big feet.
The big guy.
Yeah.
The big one.
The big one with the big feet. What is this?
That's pretty much the content of that game.
Yeah.
The big guy with the big
feet. What you got?
This is Flying and Embers Margarita Spicy Lime. So it's a kombucha, but spicy lime kombucha.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And boozy?
And boozy. Yeah. 10%. So it's not nothing. I know.
That's no joke.
Yeah.
That's like,
it's no joke indeed.
They put the hard in hard kombucha.
Mm-hmm. Very hard. Probably harder than the two of you are going tonight, but...
Probably.
Yes.
I flew across the country today, so here we are.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to unwind.
Yeah.
So I looked at what we were reading last, since it's been a couple weeks, and we got parables, you know, the usual. The main important story point is we got the colt, Jesus riding on the colt.
Oh, yeah.
Last time, just the one colt, not two at the same time as he's
about,
done in other books.
Yeah, how young a horse could be. And be ridden.
And
we had a big discussion about that. Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, amazing.
Goodness. I love that.
Love it. Yeah.
Well, we should take it home.
All right.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. We're going to continue on the penultimate episode, of Luke. Today, we're going to be reading Luke chapters 21 and 22. And we're getting to some stories we've heard, but maybe with a twist.
Oh.
We will see.
How exciting.
As we get started, we want to remind everyone to read responsibly and drink responsibly.
You can drink along with us, or you can listen to us while you're in the car.
But please do not do both at the same time.
And with that, it is time for Luke chapter 21. He looked up and saw the rich people who were putting their gifts into the treasury. He saw a certain poor widow casting in two small brass coins.
Oh, this one, this story, the widow's mites.
Yeah.
In this case,
it says literally two lepta is what they call the coin in this particular translation or this particular book.
Lepidoptera?
What?
Isn't that like a rabbit?
What?
Lepidoptera? Is that like a genealogy of a rabbit or something? What?
Yeah. Well, when I type it in, it says it's a butterfly, actually. So I don't know where I got that from.
Dedeker. Amazing. A butterfly. Okay, that's fine.
Uh-huh. I'm always confusing rabbits and butterflies. Don't mind me.
There you go. Yes. Yeah, they're so similar.
So she put in her two coins. Now, what's interesting is that when we got this in the past, Jesus just told a story to illustrate this. And in this book, he's just there with them and looks up and sees this happen. So he sees this woman put in her two coins. He said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow put in more than all of them she had to live on." That's the end of the story. That's it.
Oh, okay. We got it. Yeah.
Because didn't we get other versions of the story where he compared her to...
Yeah.
You know, a rich man or a rich Pharisee who makes a big show of pouring in a ton of money.
And he's basically saying that because she has so little, comparatively, she's putting in so much more.
Yes. Yeah.
It means and matters a lot more.
An interesting example of this is the real story. He just happened to be there, looked up and saw it happen. And then he turned it into a little bit more of a tall tale where he added also the rich guy pouring in all this money to make more of a point.
Interesting.
Well, this did start with he looked up and saw the rich people who were putting their gifts in the treasury. And then he saw a poor woman walk up and put her 2 coins in.
Okay.
I see.
So, but it's like in the retelling, he kind of elaborates and, you know, pontificates a little bit more about how much better she is than them, I guess.
For sure. Yeah.
As some were talking about the temple and how it was decorated with beautiful stones and gifts, he said, "As for these things which you see, the days will come in which there will not be left here one stone on another that will not be thrown down."
Thrown down? Like taken apart?
Yeah, like it's all going to crumble. It's all going to be rubble soon or someday. They asked him, "Teacher, so when will these things be?"
"Teacher, so what?"
"So what?"
What is the sign that these things are about to happen? I'm assuming it's because they want to like buy short stocks on it or something.
Oh,
like
that. Of course. Yeah, they want to short the stock. Yep. They want to short their investment.
He said, "Watch out that you don't get led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am,' and 'The time is at hand.' Therefore, don't follow them." Mm. "When you hear of wars and disturbances, don't be terrified, for these things must happen first. But the end won't come immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and plagues in various places. There will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, delivering you up to synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. It will turn out as a testimony for you. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries will not be able to withstand or contradict." He is very good at quips, so I believe that. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
"You will be handed over, even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends. Some of you they will cause to be put to death. You will be hated by all men for my name's sake, and not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will win your lives."
Cool.
So this whole thing.
Is this about the rapture? No.
Well, kind of. It's like about the
ish
end times. Some sort. Okay. Of some sort, right? We don't quite know if that means like Revelation or not.
And again, because there was that one show where, was it The Holdovers? Or I'm not sure what it was, where basically like people were going up into the air. No, that was a movie. Wait, what was it? The
Left Behind?
The Leftovers? The leftovers. That's it.
The Leftovers.
Yeah.
Did you watch that show, Emily?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Because I did, and it actually wasn't about that at all.
Oh, wait. I thought that like a bunch of people got raptured, like it was like 2% of the population or something, and then everybody else was left over.
I mean, yes, but it was not about the rapture. It was just sort of loosely based on that concept of like spontaneously one day, whatever it was, 2%, 5%, some lowish percent of the population all just like disappears off the earth.
I mean, that is
and it's all kind of about
nuts. That's crazy.
The weird stuff like how did it happen? Why did it happen? What's going on? It was a weird show.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I watched the whole thing.
Wow.
It was weird.
Well,
but it's not about the rapture.
Can I ask, is that what they think is going to happen? These people who are really raptured in their hearts and minds believe in the rapture.
Okay, that phrase, raptured in their hearts and minds, like Emily, you are being groomed to be a pastor by the end of this show.
We have
like,
all been raptured in our hearts and minds. And one day, we will be raptured in reality.
See, okay, Emily, you're ready.
And the point
you're
is just to so wait for
ready.
That day.
We, yeah. Okay,
you've taught
Jace,
me well.
Jace has some connections to the like Universal Church of Christ here in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mm-hmm. We're going to book you a speaking gig. We're going to book you a sermoning gig.
It's just going to be a lie. It's going to be me pretending. Can you imagine?
It's all right. It's the Universalists. It's okay. Oh, they can handle it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, is that where we sang, Jace? Is that where we did yes. like a...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you've been there before. So it's good.
Yeah.
So we will get more into this as we get closer to Revelation and get to parts of the Bible to talk more about the end times. But roughly, there's sort of a couple different camps of theories about what's actually going to happen. I mean, I say a couple. And of course, over the centuries, like there's probably like 6 billion different theories and competing opinions about what's going to happen. But like the two main ones that I always heard about was like, there's the theory that, yeah, the world's going to go through all this horrible stuff, all the wars and famines and persecution and stuff like that. And then at the end, all the good Christians are going to get raptured up.
Okay.
Or it's the Christians are going to get raptured first and then everyone else left behind is going to have to go through all this horrible stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
That's it.
That okay. sucks yeah. for everyone else. I guess.
Well, and it also causes a lot of anxiety when you're a small child being taught that this is reality.
I bet it does. My yeah. goodness.
Well, and the fact that he's saying kind of when they ask him, what are the signs? He's like, don't worry, these things are going to happen first. This nation rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes, famines, and plagues in various places.
So things that have always happened and will always continue to happen okay. in human right. history. Yes.
Right. Where I'm like, since the time he said this till now, there has probably never been a point in time ever where some of those things were not happening somewhere in the world.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's an easy target for people to get real excited and upset about it. And
he's pretty smart.
Sometimes justify doing some really shitty things.
Yeah, for sure.
So
as people love to justify.
Speaking of not
throughout history,
shitty things.
Yes,
not
the Bible.
Ewan McGregor.
Still reading the Bible.
Okay.
Yeah. But when you, he's continuing on with this whole thing, right? So
yeah.
not a hair of your head will perish, right? So even though you're going to get persecuted, you won't perish. By endurance, you will win your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that it is desolation at hand. So then you're screwed. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. Let those who are in the country not enter therein.
Good.
Okay. For these are days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who nurse infants in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath to the people.
Because it's just going to suck for them?
I guess.
I guess because they're getting massacred and it's harder to run with a baby, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I mean,
always that angst of like bringing a child into a terrible world.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure. That old chestnut.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we're not, you know,
yeah,
doing that.
Oh, that's why. Okay.
I mean, there are other reasons.
I wasn't sure why we were not.
I didn't realize that was my choice, why I made the choice to not have children.
That's one of my reasons, though, for sure.
It makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Tyndale's version of this here. But woe be to them that be with childy and to them that give suck in those days.
At least he didn't mention any pappies this time.
That's true. No pappies this
Good
time.
Good Lord. Just giving suck.
They will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on earth, anxiety of nations. Wow, what a true prophecy.
Wait, that was from
anxiety of nations. No, I went back.
Sorry. Oh, okay. I was like, wait a minute. That's not normal.
He was not in Tyndale voice.
Okay, yeah,
you can tell by my voice.
I see.
There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on the earth, anxiety of nations, in perplexity for the roaring of the sea and the waves. Men fainting for fear and for expectation of the things which are coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken.
Yeah.
He just keeps going. This is all big one long speech. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory.
Hey-o.
But when these things begin to happen, look up and lift your heads because your redemption is near. He told them a parable. Hard cut.
That sounds
hard
like,
cut. Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. That sounds like that last line really sounds like something that, I don't know, a youth pastor would say to all of his little youthies.
Hmm. Okay. Okay. Was there anything particularly youthful?
Which part specifically? Like the threatening? Yeah.
No, I don't know. Just when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption is near, my dudes.
My dudes, yeah.
I don't know. He's got like long hair and, you know, a ukulele or something.
Okay.
Is that like how you did it, Jace?
Some ripped jeans.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, because I've been growing my hair out a little longer. Maybe.
Yeah, it looks good.
Maybe,
looks
Emily,
good.
When you start your church, I can be the youth pastor who does that.
Got it. Know? Well, yeah.
We're going to do a whole church takeover.
We're basically just fulfilling the prophecy of the life that you almost had, but then didn't. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Okay, so then he told him a parable. See the fig tree and all the trees.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
He started off thinking of a fig tree and then he's like, wait, actually this applies to all trees.
Every tree. Every tree that ever so, treed.
Oh no, he was like, wait, actually I hate fig trees. Mm-hmm. Never mind. Just a tree, a generic tree.
When they are already budding, you see it and you know by your own selves that the summer is already near. Even so, you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. I see. So those things are the buds on the tree whose blossoms will be destruction. Okay.
Yeah. So there is this contradictory information of like, you're going to see the signs.
I saw the sign.
But other times in the book,
he's like, he won't know.
You're not going to, one's going to know when it's going to happen.
Really?
No one's going to know.
That is,
but there's going to be signs. But no one's going to know.
Yeah, that whole
happens.
Thing of like, it'll be like a thief in the night and it's not when you expect and not when you're standing guard or whatever. So yeah, it is a bit.
Wait.
Yeah.
Did we already do that? This was way, way in the long time back in the Old Testament when the frogs were falling from the sky and stuff like that. Or is that Revelation?
That was Exodus.
No, the plagues. That's Exodus.
Okay.
Way back.
Now, okay, in the same vein, though, of like that audio drama that Jace just listened to, there's a lot of, you know, spooky biblical stuff that's in the zeitgeist that gets easily confused.
Exactly.
Right?
That's and what so I'm saying. I'm like, I don't know. It could be anywhere in the Bible.
Yeah. So I do think the plagues from the Exodus story have gotten appropriated, commandeered for like end time stories as well. So no, I'm not surprised that that kind of gets confused, right?
Well, I mean, and they're very horrifying, you know, the firstborn child getting killed.
Sure. Very, you know, world ending
and blood
situations
everywhere.
Blood rivers. Yeah.
Blood rivers. And then like the freaking frogs falling from the sky. Mm-hmm. What was that
frogs,
movie where
boils.
That happened that
Magnolia?
We watched? Jace? Magnolia. Yeah. Yes, Magnolia. That movie was extremely weird.
It was very weird. Yes, agreed. Yeah. I just, real quick, before I finish this chapter,
please.
My quick rant about the prophecy, the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he has been on it this week.
Okay.
He's been hate binging this show.
Wait, I wonder how much these people got paid for this, because those are some big time. Kerry Washington?
Names.
My goodness.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I hated her character. And it's not, I don't want to blame Kerry Washington for that, but it's just her writing was terrible. She was one note for all nine episodes. She just—
That's unfortunate.
Kept yelling that people should believe her and not giving them any reasons to. So it was just, and even the people that are helping her, she's also yelling at them that they're not doing it good enough or something. It was just, it's just really bad writing. It's just really lazy, really lazy writing. But specifically, it's like these events were happening in modern day that were mirroring biblical events, and the people all happened to have the same names as the characters from the Bible. So there's this zookeeper named Daniel who got trapped in a lion's den.
Of course.
And like the lions weren't responding to the tranquilizers and stuff like that. And everyone thought he was dead. He was in there for 24 hours because they couldn't get in to get him out. And then he comes out and he had some scratches and that was it. And all the story keeps hitting this point of, It was exactly like the story of Daniel in the Bible. It was exactly like it. I'm like, no, he was in a den with lions.
Like, no, it wasn't.
Like, no.
Like, that's about—
Daniel didn't have tranks. If he did have tranks with him, he might have had a fun time overnight in the lion's
den.
He
didn't accidentally get trapped in with lions that he knew by name. It's just like nothing about the story is actually similar besides his name's Daniel and there's lions.
So, but here's the thing is that now you're like a total Bible nerd who gets to be the literalist.
Oh, you
who gets
Jace.
To be like,
yes.
But in Bible comic in the Marvel Cinematic Universe number 268, yes. The Hulk didn't have that power.
Like, is that how, like,
that's where you're at now?
Is that how theologians look at, I guess, different media that portrays the Bible in some way or another? Are they like, that's not how it happened? That's some BS.
Fundamentalists.
Well, okay.
Yes, fundamentalists, which is very much the culture that I grew up in, because fundamentalists believe it's 100% true, right? Like, it is infallible.
Yeah.
What it says in the book is what happened.
That, which is
yes,
weird.
And so there's no artistic license, there's no liberties, there's no interpretation.
Got
if you
it.
Get a detail wrong, that is just wrong. You are not accurately portraying what happened.
The Bible.
So yes, I grew up in a culture where anytime there was any sort of biblical movie or show, or especially if it was more mainstream, everyone would immediately nitpick every little detail they got wrong.
So you're saying that Jace is now a fundamentalist?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm
what
kidding.
Am I
I'm
saying?
Kidding. I'm kidding. You're just saying that he's a nerd about the Bible.
I think
saying
I think,
that you're a nerd. That's
yeah.
all.
I'm a nerd. Yeah, I would say I am more like the comic book
yes.
nerd.
Yes.
In Dedeker's example here, because I think that in that case, those like the fundamentalist criticisms are often of other mm-hmm. Christian movies made by Christians, but that are not true enough. Like they give a little too much humanity to Jesus, or like they imply that he may have had a romantic or possibly even sexual relationship. Like why they all hated Jesus Christ Superstar and Godspell for that reason, right? Like that's that kind of thing. Whereas I'm more the nerd who's like, if you want to make up sort of an alternate version where you flesh out the characters like any historical fiction, go for it. But if you're going to try to make the case that your story is interesting because it mirrors the Bible exactly,
interesting.
You better
be okay. exact. Yeah, just because
or,
they're essentially
or I'm
saying that.
Be
yeah,
coming after you.
Yeah.
Right. That was their whole point. Is like, look, it's just like the Bible. I'm like, no, it's not. It's like a little bit like the Bible. And his name's
Big
Daniel.
Deal.
That's the best
got
you got. And the worst. The worst. Oh, I just can't stop.
I can't stop.
The worst.
Uh-huh.
When Daniel's in the lion's den. And by the way, this character is not a Christian. So that's part of the miracle of it, is that he's in the lion's den. And he's telling the story of being in there. And he's like, and then these words just came to me, right? When I thought I was going to die. And I started saying, you know, oh, though I walk through the shadow of death.
The valley of the shadow of death.
No
since
evil,
we're going to be all legalistic the about it.
Wait a minute. Yes. So that's not
sure,
at all
sure, sure.
in the Daniel story.
Well, okay. One, not in the Daniel story. Yes. Two.
Yeah.
It's one of the Psalms. I forget the number right now, right?
23.
But it's that, you know, I shall fear no evil.
Yeah.
The Lord is with me. All that kind of stuff, right? He follows up that part of the story by saying, and I had never said the Lord's Prayer before. I don't even know the words to the Lord's Prayer if you ask me now. And he says this in multiple different episodes referencing that incident. And I'm like,
is that not the Lord's Prayer?
Yeah. That's not the Lord's Prayer.
No, it's not.
It's a psalm.
No, that's not the Lord's Prayer at all.
Yeah.
Were
it's
you so mad? Because I can imagine you being so mad.
Oh, I can attest. I can attest.
Amazing.
He huffed around the house.
I'm sure he did.
But would still be like, hold on, I've got like 10 minutes left. I gotta keep listening. I only have like 8 minutes left. Like just
like,
huffing and puffing.
I hate this so much. I hate listening to it. Amazing.
Yes, it was that. Oh my gosh. And I kept thinking someone's going to point it out and be like, and it was an easy fix, right? Someone
could say, you're an idiot.
That's not the Lord's Prayer.
But geez.
Right, they're like, that's not the Lord's Prayer. That's this other psalm. And he's like, right, see, I don't know these things. It writes itself.
Geez,
it's easy. And they didn't. They never did it because that's what this writer just
reads the Bible.
Didn't care.
Nobody has ever read the Bible.
But that's the thing. Not only did the writer not care, but anybody who read the script and said, yes, we're going to do it.
Or the actors.
Because nobody has read the Bible
or
except
anyone.
For us.
Yeah.
It's true. No one's read it.
Yeah.
Except for us and all of our wonderful listeners.
That was my takeaway. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, we're so close.
Okay, let me finish this book. All right. Most assuredly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things are accomplished. Okay. That was an important detail.
Oh, what?
Wait, what?
That he's basically saying this whole the end times thing that he's predicting and all these things, that it will happen like in this lifetime.
Wait. But it didn't. But it didn't.
It just says, until all things are accomplished. Who knows what that means? All things are accomplished could have been him dying.
I mean...
Well, okay, Jace, but clearly so many people disagree with that interpretation because that's not what happened.
Yeah, but no one has read the Bible but us.
Can we keep reading the Bible, please?
Okay,
all right.
Okay. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So be careful, or your hearts will be loaded down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day will come on you suddenly. For it will come like a snare on all those who dwell on the surface of all the earth. Therefore, be watchful all the time, asking that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will happen and to stand before the Son of Man. Every day, Jesus was teaching in the temple, and every night he would go out and spend the night on the mountain that is called Olivet.
Olivet. Oh, he'd go camping. That's fun.
Olivet.
Normally he's like crashing on people's couches.
All the people. Right? All the people came early in the morning to him in the temple to hear him.
Wow.
That's nice.
And that's the end of chapter 21.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. We should take a little break and calm ourselves.
Yes. Really I got too excited.
You did get excited.
I need to go.
You're too upset.
Go quickly re-listen.
The whole thing in 4 minutes. Go.
Like 10x speed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yes, but we're going to take a quick break to fill our drinks and also to tell you to go out and tell your friends. Okay, check it out. Here's the plan, right? You get like a 6-pack of beer, if that's what you're into, or a bottle of wine, or, you know, whatever you like to drink. And you bring it over to a friend's house and you say, hey, I thought we could hang out and listen to Drunk Bible Study. Maybe do it on a Thursday so you could check out our live shows, which you can find out about at drunkbiblestudy.com/live. Or you can just follow us on Twitch at Drunk Bible Study. Or it could be on another day if that's better for your schedules. And then you can just listen to the podcast together so that they can be welcomed into this loving family of having so much fun and so passionately reading the Bible. And let them know that they too could be some of the few people in the world who've ever read the Bible.
In the world.
In the world of all time.
I think at the very, very end of the show, we should, I mean, we don't really have a way of tracking this, but maybe we can reward some like completionist medals.
Oh, for sure.
And trophies to some friends, get some merit badges.
I love that.
At least a printable certificate of completion would be good. Maybe one of those little badges you could put on your LinkedIn profile or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Even better.
All right. What kind of jobs do you think are going to like be looking at something like that and really excited about the fact that...
Like, I mean, we're going to get an honorary degree from Yale Divinity School and start
our
career.
And then also for our other podcast, we're going to get PhDs. Wow.
Yeah, we've got a lot of academic things to accomplish here. So
yeah, a lot of academic things coming our way.
So amazing. If you want to help support us in all of those goals, the other thing you can do besides just telling all your friends is going to our Patreon and supporting us there, becoming a parishioner at patreon.com/drunkbiblestudy. And as a thank you, we have early releases of episodes so that you can get that certificate of completion before all of your friends. We also have personal toasts on the show, Emily's drink recipes, and of course, our undying affection.
And we are back. Here we go. Love it. Okay, what are we doing? We are doing Luke 22. Let's get into it. Now, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, I can read, which is called the Passover, drew near. The chief priests and the scribes sought how they might put him to death. Oh, shit, we're getting into it.
Yeah,
here we go. It is time. For they feared the people. Satan entered into Judas. Whoa! That's really different than normal.
Whoa,
Satan entered into Judas?
Whoa. I don't know if we've gotten that detail before. That is very specifically like Satan did this. He was responsible.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah, I thought that it was just like Judas being a bad boy, but... But no.
No.
It was
Satan. Devil made him do it.
All along.
Yeah. Devil made me do it.
Wow. Okay. So Satan entered into Judas, who was surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered with the 12. He went away and talked with the chief priests and captains about how he might deliver him to them. They were glad and agreed to give him money. He consented and sought an opportunity to deliver him to them in the absence of the multitude. The day of unleavened bread came, on which the Passover must be sacrificed. He sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." They said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered into the city, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him into the house which he enters. Tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large furnished upper room. Make preparations there."
Well, nice that it's furnished.
No, I know. A lot is happening here that has not happened in any of the other books.
Okay, so let me get this straight.
Yeah.
Jesus is like, "Hey, go prepare us a Passover feast." And they're like, "Dude, we live on a mountain. Like, where are we going
to
do this?
We've been camping. What do you want us to do?"
And he says, exactly. And check this out. He's like, "Go into the town. You'll see a dude filling his water.
Yeah.
Follow him. Don't let him see you. Just follow him."
We have gotten this before.
Okay.
And then just like bust into his house once you find his house and be like, "Where's the guest room where we're going to have our Passover?" And then he'll show it to you because he'll be terrified.
Terrified. Yeah. Well, it's kind of how he got the colt, right? It was just like, take a colt from somebody. And the guy was like, "That's my colt." And they're like, "It's cool,
and he's
man.
Like, Jesus
Police
needs
business.
It, so we're taking it." Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay. When the hour had come, he sat down with the 12 apostles. He said to them, "I have earnest..."
That's a hard T in that, that word, huh, Emily?
Yeah, I like it.
Apostles. Apostles. He said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." To eat this Passover. The entire Passover he is chomping on. "For I tell you, I will no longer by any means eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." He received a cup. Is that the cup that was in Indiana Jones?
Yes. That's
there's a name for that cup.
Oh my gosh.
There's a name for that cup.
It's the cup. No, wait. Not the cup of Christ. What is it? The ark? No, not that either. Damn it. What is it?
The grail.
Oh yeah, the Holy Grail. Yes. That's weird too. Because that kind of implies that, like, he's dying in the cup.
Wait, what?
The Holy Grail.
What?
Wait, no, what? Not the Holy Grave. Wait, why is it called the Grail?
What?
Why is it called a Grail?
That is actually a good question. Why is it called a Grail? What does Grail mean?
It's just, it's like a chalice,
the
right?
Angel Grail. Like the,
Isn't the Grail like the thing that's on the front of your car, like the Grail?
You know, no, that's the grill.
Isn't that like when you put like some diamonds in your teeth?
On the grill.
That's also a grill.
The grail.
Right. Grail. Oh my God. Okay.
This is.
Are you looking it up?
The Holy Grail. I am. It's so with Merriam-Webster. So, I mean, the first, if it's capitalized, they say, then it refers to the cup or platter used, according to medieval legend, by Christ at the Last Supper and thereafter the object of knightly quests.
Okay, so this is the Last Supper.
Definition number two.
Yes.
Is the object of an extended or difficult quest. But I don't know, is that what it meant before or is that what it meant after?
The object of a difficult quest. Wait a minute. Yes. Is this, do they ever call it actually the Last Supper? Or do we just have to infer that this is the Last Supper in which he ate?
Well, no, because when they're having it, they don't know that it's the Last Supper. I mean, maybe Jesus knows.
But he knows. He just literally said that it was.
He just said it, yeah. So they don't call it that, but it was.
But it is.
He described it as that.
Yes.
So, I think that like Leonardo da Vinci.
What about da Vinci?
Was Leonardo da Vinci the one who did the famous Last Supper painting?
Yes.
Or is that Michelangelo? Yes?
No, that was da Vinci.
It was da Vinci. Yes.
Okay, yeah. Was he just like, you know what? I'm calling it the Last Supper.
Because he was... code, you know.
The Da Vinci Code of Triangles.
No, I know what the Da Vinci Code is. I've read that book and a bunch of other Dan Savage books. Wait, Dan... What is his name?
I would love to hear Dan Savage's take on the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah. Wait, what is his name?
Dan Brown?
That's the one. Yeah.
Yes. In case anyone cares still at this point, I found the actual etymology of the word grail. It comes from medieval Latin, gradalis, or dish, and then it got bastardized from there.
Oh, okay. So he's eating a dish.
Well, we did...
Of himself? What?
So when Dedeker and I went to the Getty Villa,
Yes, we did see the Getty Villa.
I've been to the Getty Villa.
Yeah, so they have these like...
They drank out of like dishes, not out of like a wine cup like we think about it.
That's weird.
Like at drinking parties in ancient Greece, it was like these big flat dishes with like rounded edges rather than cups like we think of today. So maybe he was drinking that and Da Vinci's painting is all wrong.
Yeah, maybe it is. Yeah.
And that that would have been a better reveal actually in Indiana Jones if one of them was like a plate. Everyone's like, what's that doing there? And he's like, oh, but I know historically at that time they
would have been like a wine bowl or something. Now my favorite at the Getty Villa, there is like this ancient Greek wine bowl that painted at the bottom of it is like a dude puking up a bunch of wine.
Ew.
Yeah.
And I
just like once you finish the whole thing, it's like this is what's in store for you.
I just loved imagining like this group of drunken Greek bros just making this as like a freaking, I don't know, like a prank or like something to make fun of you know, Hephaestus who got sick last week from drinking too much wine. And
well, they're going to put it at their Spencer's Gifts or their Spencericus's Gifts or whatever it would have been called.
Amazing.
Anyway.
Sorry. Can I just read you a quick line from Tyndale?
Tyndale,
this is verse 20.
Okay.
Likewise, also, when they had supped, he toke the cup, saying. They supped and toke.
Boy, maybe it wasn't wine at all. Maybe it was like a freaking water pipe or something.
Right? Grail. It was a bong. Yeah, of sorts. Okay.
That'd be a good reveal at the end of a movie, too. It's actually a bong.
So, okay, I'm sorry. I got to go back a little bit. So he said, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will no longer by any means eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He received a cup, the Grail, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, I will not drink at all again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in memory of me.
Wow.
Dramatic. Likewise.
Emily, are you familiar with these lines that you're saying right now?
Well, yeah, he's like, this is my body and this is my blood or whatever. Like the bread.
Like the communion.
And the, like we're at a Catholic church and having a wafer and having a grape juice.
I'm pretty sure that Luke is the one that they usually read during communion. Like this wording of it is the,
this is my body.
Is the wording, yeah.
This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in memory of me. We're in Catholic church, right? Likewise.
Well, do this in remembrance of me, I think is usually the translation that's used. But yeah, I think it's
probably
the same.
NIV. Yeah.
Yeah, probably. NIV. I have it right here.
Got it. Yeah. Likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table.
Oh.
Shit, he knew. That's awkward.
Yeah.
But remember, I think in the last book that we read, it was like, whoever dips into the hummus with me is
into
the one.
Into the hummus? Wait, were they having like some hummy and Pete's? Were they having hummy and Pete's? Amazing.
Yes, they were having
yummy. That sounds like really good right now.
Okay. Yeah, I could go for some hummy and Pete's.
Yeah, hell yeah. Okay. The Son of Man indeed goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man through whom he is betrayed. They began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. There arose also a contention among them, which of them was considered to be greatest. He said to them,
they cannot go for 5 minutes. They can't sit down to we can't have a nice dinner together without them squabbling.
They're like, wait a minute.
Who's the betrayer?
And then they're like, who does Jesus love the most?
Right.
Yeah.
Here's the deal though. I think though, if we look, this is me being very like internal family systems therapist-y, where I'm like, if we look at any situation where there's like very intense sibling rivalry, the parents are probably doing something to egg that on, right? Like parents are probably...
I think Jesus definitely egged this on. He was
For sure. He's for sure displaying favoritism.
He was like, which of you is going to be my favorite boy?
Yes. Like,
why don't you
sit
try
next
harder?
To me? Like he is for sure setting up a competition for his affections. And so of course they're going to fight about it.
100%. Which is funny because he's Jesus and he should be like very loving and very like, I love all of my disciples equally.
Oh, he wants them to fight.
But he's totally not doing that.
Yeah. I'm assuming it's that he had to get them riled up enough so that they would end up striking the exact pose that Leonardo da Vinci would, you know, take a photo of for the Last Supper. So that we
are
have
you
all
telling
the
me that
secret...
Leonardo da Vinci was there with a photo machine?
Yeah.
With like a little like a little Instax.
I was gonna say a little Instax.
Yeah. No, that's why everyone was so confused when Jesus is like, yeah, this guy has this big banquet hall. We're gonna go there. Everyone's gonna sit on this one side of the table though. They're like, why? That's weird.
And they're like, but because we gotta get a good pick.
We gotta get a good pick, yeah. On the Instax.
Yeah, and it's a long enough table that we'll put like Peter Simon next to me and then Judas next to me. Was Judas in the middle of the photo with Jesus?
I forget where everyone is.
Yeah.
Last Supper. At my church growing up, they did a little reenactment of that painting for funsies.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. No one, I wasn't surprised either at the time.
Great.
Yeah. Okay.
It was part of a play. Like it was part of like a little, you know, a passion play, as it were. But they did, you know, their best to strike the famous pose, you know, so everyone could get their picture.
Nice. Yeah, I bet it was a cool
picture. Of the real life.
Yeah.
Last Supper. Yeah. Let's see. Where's Judas? Would I even know Judas if I saw him?
I'm sure you could look up. Like,
oh, I think I saw. I spotted him right away. He has a real stink face.
I mean, he looks like a white Italian guy like all the others do.
Well, sure, but...
That's all that Leonardo da Vinci knew.
I'm assuming it's the guy with the stink face.
The guy with the stink face? Mm, yes. Okay.
That could have been Peter Simon. Or no, Peter Simon would have looked like, Jesus, love me the most.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. The Son of Man indeed goes, as it has been determined, but woe to that man through whom he is betrayed. They began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. There arose also a contention among them which of them was considered to be greatest. He said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors," quote unquote. "But not so with you. For one who is the greater among you, let him become as the younger, and one who is governing as one who serves. For who is greater, one who sits at the table and one who serves?"
Is it or one who serves?
Or one who serves. Or one who serves.
Right, so who's greater, the one who eats or the one who serves? This is about what you've done for like the last 15 years, Emily.
It's true.
Yeah, it's about food service.
And I mean, I have an answer to that, but
I think his answer is going to be the same.
Hell yeah. "Isn't it he who sits at the table? But I am in the midst of you as one who serves."
See?
So he's like, I'm the one who serves, and obviously I'm the best. So yeah.
I am the one who serves.
There you go. "But you are those who have continued with me in my trials. I confer on you a kingdom, even as my Father conferred on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. You will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan asked to have
Whoa,
you.
Whoa, wait, what?
That he Whoa. Might
wait, what? Wait.
Yeah.
This is new.
Peter, Simon? Simon, Peter?
Yes, Peter, Simon, Simon, Peter.
Simon, who is Peter?
Yikes. Okay, so like the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold.
Jesus is saying this to him.
Yeah. The Lord, Jesus, said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan asked to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith wouldn't fail. You, when once you have been turned again, established your brothers." Establish your brothers. The word for brothers here may also be correctly translated brothers and sisters or siblings. Well,
okay,
great.
Hold on. Okay, so
yeah,
Jesus is suddenly now revealing to Simon that Satan wanted him, but that Jesus prayed for him so that he wouldn't take him.
Oh. This is why Simon is Jesus' favorite boy, even though Jesus kind of like slaps him around a little bit, I think.
But I'm just realizing that is it like Judas is the one because actually Satan wanted Simon, but Jesus intervened there, but then didn't intervene with Judas.
And Jesus was like, "How about that guy who I like who's never been in the story before this exact moment in time?" we've never talked about. And the only, yeah, the only like show that he gets in the Bible is because he is the one right. who betrayed me.
Although to be fair, there's yeah. like eight other apostles that we never ever hear about really. So
no, I know that we literally don't so even know their names.
At least he got to be a little famous.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, good for him. But maybe he was the least favorite.
Yeah, maybe.
And he knew it. But he's still, I mean, being like 12th best in Jesus' eyes is still better than basically everyone else.
Yeah, that's the idea, I think.
Yeah. He said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." He said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will by no means crow today until you deny that you know me three times."
Mm, classic.
He said to them, "When I sent you out without purse and wallet and shoes, did you lack anything?" They said, "Nothing." Then he said to them, "But now, whomever has a purse, let him take it, and likewise a wallet. Whoever has none, let him sell his cloak and buy a sword."
So, okay.
A real sword.
Sorry, can I just...
Yes.
I'm just following along with Tyndale here, and I would have no idea what uh-huh. the sentence says if you were not reading that.
Okay, what did it say?
So... I'm going to go from verse 35.
Okay.
"And he said unto them, when I sent you out, when I sent you without wallet and scripe and shoes," scripe.
What?
S-C-R-I-P-E.
What is that?
Scripe. Who knows?
Let's see if I can get to the bottom of that.
"And shoes, lacked ye anythingy?" And they said, "No." "And he said to them, but now that," so let me try this again. "But now he that hath a wallet, let him take it up, and likewise his scrippy. And he that hath no sweird, let him sell his coot."
Sweird?
"Let him sell his cootie and buy one."
Coots for sweards, you know?
Cootie. Amazing.
A scripe or a scrippy is just a bag.
A scrippy. Okay. That's so
that
fun.
Makes total
yeah.
sense.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. "Then he said to them, but now whoever has a purse, let him take it, and likewise a wallet. Whoever has none, let him sell his cloak and buy a sword. For I tell you that this which is written must still be fulfilled in me. He was counted with the lawless, for that which concerns me has an end. They said, Lord, behold, here are two swords." Two swords! "He said to them, that is enough."
What? What?
I don't know.
Yeah. What the heck?
He was fulfilled with two
Are they
swords.
He stupid. He gives this whole speech about like you got to buy a sword. They're like, well, what, like, who, okay, do you have a sword?
Do you have a sword?
Like, yeah. hey, look,
Here's
look,
two.
We got two. We got two. And she's like, great.
And he's like,
yeah,
that'll do,
all right,
pig.
He's like,
fine.
I love that. I love that for me. All right, Dedeker, you're gonna bring us home now.
Okay, after the swords debacle.
Yeah,
he came out. I guess that was the end of dinner. That
yep.
was that.
Mm-hmm.
He came out and went, as his custom was, to the Mount of Olives. His disciples also followed him. Yeah, people in the chat are pointing out, maybe they're just so drunk at this point after
see.
All
they're
that
definitely
wine.
Drunk. Yeah. They're like, "Jesus, I've had so much of your blood. Yikes."
"When he was at the place," you know the one, "he said to them, pray that you don't enter into temptation. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him." That's new.
Yeah.
Oh.
"Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. His sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground."
Whoa.
Gosh.
I don't remember yeah. that.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is intense.
Yeah. I mean, it says like drops of blood. It doesn't say that it was drops of blood, although I think most people interpret it that he was sweat and blood straight
I mean,
up.
How do you
like
sweat?
Similar to?
Yeah, how would sweat be similar to blood except for being like red and
like
thick
thicker?
Like blood?
Thick?
Yeah.
Yeah, just thicker, I would say, but I don't know.
Hmm.
Apparently, according to a scholarly article, it says it may this hematohidrosis. It's a rare condition in which an individual sweats blood. It may occur in an individual
Lord.
Who is suffering from extreme levels of stress.
Wow.
Okay. Well, yeah, he knows that he's about to die soon, sure. so he's probably like, "I'm real stressed."
Okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Various Good causative Lord. Factors have been suggested, like component of systemic disease, excessive
wow.
exertion, vicarious menstruation. No idea what that is, but I guess I'll save that for later. What? And let's just get back to the story.
Okay.
When he rose up from his prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief.
I think it was because of drunkenness.
Drunkenness.
Yeah, yeah. Grief,
that's the story they gave.
Yeah. We were so sad about it being your Last Supper.
Yeah.
That was the story that, yes, that they gave him.
Sleeping because of grief.
Yes, we're just so sad. We could not stay awake. And said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." While he was still speaking, behold, a multitude. And he who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. Huh. He came near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" When those who were around him.
That's so romantic.
I mean, he knew.
I know.
He knew.
Yeah.
But he probably also gave him a really nice kiss. He was like,
the last one.
I hope so.
Yeah. He was like, "Here's the last kiss."
When those who were around him saw what was about to happen, they said to him, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?"
We've got two of them.
Yeah, we do have two. A certain one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear.
Right.
But Jesus answered, "Let me at least do this." Then he touched his ear and healed him.
What? Oh, that's very kind of him in the midst of this.
Yeah, that's also a new detail.
That did not happen before.
No, that is random. Yeah. Wow.
I love this. Oh, let me at least do this.
Listen, okay. Can I just say, I appreciate that so many people were around for all of this because, you know, it's impossible for one gospel to get all of the facts. Mm-hmm. And so now multiple people know all the facts. Yeah. The facts, quote unquote. Yes.
Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and elders who had come against him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you in the temple daily, you didn't stretch out your hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." They seized him.
The power hour.
Mm-hmm. And led him away and brought him into the high priest's house.
I like this dig. So the message actually does it quite nicely here, where he says that whole day after day, "I've been with you in the temple and you've not so much as lifted a hand against me, but do it your way. It's a dark night, a dark hour."
Whoa. Go your own way.
I'm not calling you a criminal, but
you are.
Or
a coward.
If it looks like a criminal, maybe. Yeah, maybe, or a coward. Maybe, you know.
But Peter followed from a distance.
You mean Simon?
When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat among them. A certain servant girl saw him as he sat in the light and, looking intently at him, said, "This man also was with him."
And he's like, "Nah."
He denied Jesus, saying, "Woman, I don't know him." After a little while, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter answered, "Man, I am not."
Man?
Dude.
Man, I am
stop.
Not.
Stop.
Bro.
After about 1 hour passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Truly, this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. I guess he was there.
Oh, he'd been there the whole time.
Oh my gosh.
I love
that.
He was there the whole time.
He gave him the stink eye. He was like, "I told you."
Told you so. Yeah. Oh, such a look.
Oh, dang.
Then Peter remembered the Lord's word, how he said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times.
That's so awkward.
He went out and wept bitterly.
Yeah, good.
Eugene?
Yeah.
What does Eugene say?
Eugene, I think, ran out of creativity at the end here. But it says, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. He went out and cried and cried and
aww.
Cried.
Thanks,
Eugene. He just
Eugene.
Couldn't find a better way yeah, to sure. describe that one. Yeah.
The men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. Having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, "Prophesy, who is the one who struck you?" They spoke many other things against him, insulting him. As soon as it was day, the assembly of the elders of the people was gathered together, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away into their council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you won't believe. And if I ask, you will in no way answer me or let me go. From now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." They all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" He said to them, "You say it, because I am." They said, "Why do we need any more witness? For we ourselves have heard from his own mouth."
Dang.
The end today. Wow. Until the end. I wonder how it's going to all go down this time.
Yeah.
I mean, this chapter in particular, I think has probably been the most exciting account of these events.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And well, we're missing Tom Cruise, the naked guy, all that.
Oh, yeah. There's no running.
He's gone.
But we could add that. We could add that.
That might happen next time. That might happen next time.
Right.
Yeah.
It'll be CG in this one. It'll be like the second Matrix movie where suddenly all the good VFX are actually all terrible CG.
All terrible, yeah.
That movie was just weird. It was really unfortunate in a lot of ways. But ours will not be. Our movie of the Bible, of this scene, will be really awesome. Uh-huh. And really heartfelt. Yeah, I think Ewan is going to do an incredible job here.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you agree?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. He's going to really sell it. It's going to be awesome. Yeah.
No, I'm actually, the scene that stood out to me the most as being great for Ewan McGregor is after the rooster crows.
Mm. And he turns and just
gives him the I told you so look.
Yeah.
I think it'll be.
Until he gives him, you were the chosen one.
Stink eye.
You were the chosen one.
But you were my brother, Simon Peter, Peter Simon.
And Simon Peter Peter Simon.
You got it. You got it.
Wait, exactly. Okay, can I just ask though, like, have we cast Peter and have we cast Judas?
Let me consult
the Judas
list.
Was Harry Styles.
Right.
Okay, that's good.
Which is still very good.
I could see the devil going after Harry Styles.
And Peter is Bradley Cooper still, which I still feel good about.
That's also fun.
Okay, yeah. No, that's still good. Mm-hmm. It is going to be weird when we do these four different movies for the different Gospels where the Jesus is different, but all the other actors are the same.
It'll be a little weird, but...
But I think kind of cool. It's an art piece. Like the whole, all four together will kind of be an art piece.
What, Dedeker?
I just looked up vicarious menstruation.
Oh.
And it's so much worse than I thought that it was.
Why did you do that? Why?
I had to know.
Did you?
For people who want to know, vicarious menstruation is cyclical bleeding in extrauterine organs during menstruation. It usually occurs between the third and fourth decades of life. So right now, for me and you, Emily, it is known to occur from many sources like nose, eyelid, retina, ears, intestine, lungs, nipples, and even skin.
Is there an opt-out option?
No, thank you.
Is there?
No, thank you. Nope,
on the list of things, this world can be pretty terrible, right? And life can be full of pain and horrible things.
That's worse, though.
But still, my brain did not possibly think that this was this is biblical, for sure.
That's not what I thought. Yeah, for sure.
I think
and that's what Jesus had.
All that I can say...
So Jesus was a woman.
Maybe. What if God was one of us?
Just a slob, like one of us.
Just a vicarious menstruator like one of us.
Okay, somebody's got to bring it home. That's somebody's got to move us past this.
I'm going to roll us on into the end of this shit.
Okay, well, I feel like the lead character in a freaking Lovecraft story.
Okay.
Thank God for our parishioners who are helping us to move past this horrible topic. We've got two new parishioners,
that we need to toast.
We need to give a big thank you to Val and also to, this is the name they gave us, Plays by Gretchen.
Amazing.
Plays
by Gretchen.
Like,
and Val. That. Don't forget Val.
Not musical.
And Val. Yes. Okay. Val and Plays by Gretchen.
Thank you so much. Obviously, our parishioners can really save our asses sometimes, especially when we've gone into horrible body horror territory. And you bring us back. Whoa. You help us to ground and realize that there are good things in this life. So thank you so much.
You raise us up.
Yes, you raise us up.
You raise us up.
Thank you, Val. Yeah. Thank you, Plays by Gretchen. Thank you, PBG. And
thank you all.
PBG is a good name. I do like
that. Hope you can join us for a live show sometime.
Heck yes.
Woo!
And thank you all out there for joining us for Bible study today. If you want to join the audience in our live stream shows, follow us on Twitch at Drunk Bible Study or go to drunkbiblestudy.com/live. If you want even more Drunk Bible Study, including early releases, cocktail recipes, personal toasts on the show and more, become one of our patrons at patreon.com/drunkbiblestudy. If you enjoy the show, take a moment to subscribe and write us a nice review on iTunes, letting other people know what you like about it. You can join fellow listeners in the Drunk Bible Study Fans and Fellowship Facebook group or on our Discord server at discord.drunkbiblestudy.com. Find us on X at Drunk Biblecast, on Instagram at Drunk Bible Study, or send us an email at info@drunkbiblestudy.com. Drunk Bible Study is created and produced by Jace Lindgren, Dedeker Winston, and me, Emily Matlack. Our theme song is Book Club by Josh and Anand from their album Home of the. For more information, visit us at drunkbiblestudy.com. I made a memory about your dad.